Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree by which I commanded you, you must not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken." After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. There we go. Genesis 3. It is quite a dramatic story, and there's been a huge change from Genesis 2 to Genesis 3. So I thought we'll look at the passage quickly. Ask this question to start off. Where are you going? What is your purpose in life? Where are you going? Are you lost? Some people feel a bit lost and they don't know where they're going. And so if you want to find out where you're going, you also need to find out where you've come from. And can you explain the environment you're in? So Genesis 2 is giving us where you've come from, isn't it? But it's also Genesis 3, where have you come from? Those are both texts which help us understand. Now, there's a whole world out there that isn't in church on Sunday and that don't read their Bibles. And they wander around, and you could ask them, "Where are you going?" And they could say, "Well, I'm going to a nightclub," or "I'm going to the bar," or "I'm going to make money in the bank," or any number of things. Where are you going? But for us, where are you going should be answered with, I'm going where God's taking me. Where have you come from? A lot of the people of the world will tell you that it's all just a great big coincidence. A whole bunch of amoeba got together and they formed a man, and we're all just a crazy bit of luck that happened. And if you listen to David Attenborough, he will say, as you can see, the crocodile's mouth has been formed over millions of years, and that's how it's managed to eat these fish. It's adapted to its environment, blah, blah, blah. So there's what's called intelligent design, which is where God has specifically made something, and then there's chaotic, non-creative, accidental design, which is basically a whole lot of things luckily enough get together and make something. And so you can choose between one of those two things. So if you are, say, where have you come from? You can say, I come from a whole bunch of chaos. Fortunately, I'm formed, and now I'm alive. And so you'll develop a worldview around that. You will develop a kind of thinking that surrounds where you come from. Or you say, I have been specifically created with a purpose, and I've been made with a purpose, and something went wrong. There's another worldview that starts to develop. So two different kind of worldviews develop. And so all you have a whole lot of religions that come up with ways that you start, and there's non-religions, which people call atheism. And can you explain why it is in? So look outside. Is it perfect? Can you explain the environment you're in? I mean, is there something that you guys would like changed? Do you like the world the way it is? We're lucky in England. It's really peaceful. It's really calm in compared to the rest of the world. But there's still things going on. People throwing acid in other people's faces. Knifing is going up on the Isle of, in London. You know, we've got all sorts of troubles going on around us. Can you explain why the environment is like that? Because if it's all about chaos, it's very hard to explain it. But if we have a worldview that starts with a beautiful creation that's then fallen down, it becomes a little easier. And how do you feel in yourself? Do you feel everything's cool? I'm okay. Everything about me is fine. I have no problems. Or do you sometimes feel like maybe this isn't the right place for you? You feel awkward. Do you feel powerless or weak sometimes? Sometimes you feel, I can't fix things. Is there something that bothers you that you've done or that is about you that just makes you not as great as you'd like to be? Can you transform yourself from being where you are to getting to a better place? And how do you rate your world? How do you get on with your world? Is it a struggle? Is there some sort of tussle between you and others and the environment? Or is it all peaceful and easy? Or is life really, I get on really well with other people, I never have problems, everything's cool. I think Genesis 3 is going to look at these three things in some way and help us to understand that. Let's look at a couple of slightly difficult words or phrases. So this word serpent that appears, the Jewish, the Hebrew word is nahash, and it can also be hiss, divination, or snake. Does anyone know what divination means? Telling the future, being like God, to be like divine, isn't it? So this word serpent it's got a couple of. It's quite a hard word for us to deal with because we don't talk about a serpent anymore. It's just really weird, isn't it? Fruit. So I like what Theo said just now. We were speaking about things that you eat, and he said it can change your thinking. It can change your thinking. Fruit can be something which you eat and it nourishes your body. But Jesus quite often talks about judging people by their fruit. So it's not something that you can eat because I don't grow any fruit on me. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but that's not something that you can tangibly eat, is it? So fruit is a word which is also a little bit difficult. Opened, it says their eyes were opened. What does it mean to have their eyes opened? Maybe made aware. Maybe that you can see things clearly. It's not like an open door. It's not like opening your eyes like this. I think they had their eyes opened. But what it means is they understood. And naked, naked is an interesting word that we'll get to in a minute. But just think about naked, because there's a nakedness where you're naked and you've got no clothes on. And then there's a nakedness where you are unable to fix things. You're unable to deal with stuff. Like you've got nothing. There's a difference between, like, that guy's naked, he's got no clothes on, and that guy's got nothing. So the first thing that happens here in Genesis 3 is the truth is questioned. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? God gave very clear instructions, but these instructions are twisted and used as a weapon against the humans by the deceiver. How does it feel when somebody takes your words? You speak to somebody something, you tell them something, and then they twist it and come back with a totally different story. How does it feel? Do you guys get angry? Do you guys get upset? Theo, tell us.
You get angry, get hurt.
You get angry and hurt. You said one thing, you communicated something, and the person comes back and says, you said this, and I go, I didn't. Or they say to someone else, he said this, and you go, I didn't say that. God's communication is very clear. What did he tell them to do? You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Otherwise, you will die. Very clear. And then the first thing the deceiver comes up and says, did God really say? Communication is important for God. He really wants to speak clearly. And he gives them a purpose. And he gives them a goal. And he gives them everything that they need. And the first thing that happens is someone tries to twist God's words. I'm telling you, what I say, I'm not very good at communicating things clearly. I'm really bad at communicating things clearly. God is exceptional. He's so clear. And not only am I not so good at communicating things, but the things I say really are kind of unimportant. But what God has to say is absolutely important. The communication is then distorted. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, you must not touch it or you die. You will certainly not die, said the serpent. He's distorting it, saying, no, you're not going to die. You go and tell your children something. You go say to your kids, look, I really don't want you guys watching 15 films. You're only 10. And then they go to a friend's house, and the friend's mum says, oh, don't listen to your mum. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Just put on a 15 film. Have a watch. How does it feel when somebody takes what you've said to your child and then undermines it and says, it's not that bad? Do you think God likes it? I mean, 15 films, it's maybe a bad thing, maybe not the greatest thing. But people are, these guys are telling God, the serpent is telling Adam and Eve that you will not die. Look at those flowers. Aren't they beautiful? Are they going to live? No, because they've been cut off. And what happens when they listen to the serpent and follow through, they get cut off. They walk around just like those flowers. You can hold them and they look very pretty, but they're dead. Those flowers even may think they're alive, but they aren't. Those flowers are dead. And if they're not dead yet, they're going to die pretty soon. Then the love of God is questioned. The deceiver shows God up to be a spoil sport. He says, God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. He's saying, do you know what? Not only is God talking rubbish to you, but he's doing it because he wants to control you. He's doing it because he doesn't want you to be in control. He wants to be in control. He's doing it because he's not got the best interests in heart. Does anybody think God is happy with us? He's not happy with us, right? He's angry. Does God have a right to be angry? When people start turning your love against you and saying that you don't love this person as much as me, it feels really unkind and unpleasant. And I think we've all been to a certain extent through this situation in our own lives, where we've heard something that's been said to us which challenges the truth, and then we've also heard it being twisted, and then the love behind it is questioned. And then what happens? They own it. She goes, when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And both of their eyes were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So as soon as this cut off happens, Where they were just planted in the soil and receiving everything that they needed, they're now cut off. And so the man can no longer get the nourishment he needs to keep himself going. So he stops getting it from there, and he starts having to get it from here. Who's the only one that's level with me is the woman. And she starts looking at the man and going, I can't get it from there anymore because I'm cut off. God said I was going to die. And so she starts trying to get it from the man. And so the relationship has changed. They start looking at each other and they start seeing their weaknesses. You can't supply anymore. And you can't supply anymore. And so they have to cover themselves up. And a little bit later on, it says that God covered the woman and the man because they were naked. It's not to say that he wasn't going to do it in the first place, but just he's done it. They were covered. See, the first three steps of this is not their responsibility. The woman and the man are not responsible for the three ways the deceiver changes what God has. But at this point here, taking the fruit, taking the thought that the snake, the serpent, the hisser, the diviner has come up with, taking this thought and plucking it and consuming it, that is their responsibility. That is the point at which the woman and the man become a part of what the deceiver was giving. And so you guys all, I know, have plucked fruit in your life. I've done it. We've all done it. We've all eaten that fruit. Where we've listened And we said, I don't think you got the right thing in heart for me. So can you see now, when we're looking at that guy, looking at the map, going, where am I? You suddenly now start getting a picture of who you are and where you are. You're in trouble. These guys are in trouble. They're stuck with a map. Hey, wait a minute. This is not right. There's something wrong with this picture. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." Where are you taking it from? God is angry at the distortion of the truth. He's really, really angry about this. And we get to see in this passage further on, the serpent gets the curse. The real, real bad stuff happens to him. But the man and the woman, as a result of their behavior, suffer as well. So, I need two people to help me. I know this is a little bit awkward. But who feels like helping me for a second here? Does anyone feel like helping? Come on. Yeah. Sigh, well done. Anyone else? I wish Jace was here, then I'd get Jace to help. Come on. Okay, I'll use you and me because no one else is brave enough to do it. This is a tug of war. So this is our relationship. Here, this is me and Sai. There's something I don't like about Sai, and something Sai doesn't like about me. It's happened with all of us. There certainly is things that's difficult. And can you see, like this, we're pulling against each other. But if we have something pulling there, we pull closer together. And this is what God wants. God wants us to be in a relationship with Him rather than like that. The relationship, when God is there, pulls us together because we look up at Him. We don't look at each other anymore. And we get our perspective from God. Thanks, Si. Guys, give Him a hand. Come on, give Him a hand. Yay! Well done, Si. Well done, Si. So you can see that there's in Genesis 2, there's this order where we relate to each other through God. And you have peace in environment. We've got a purpose. We've got something to do. We've got every single need is catered for. But when you take it away, you have the fall. You don't have that source anymore. You don't have that place that can provide you with the solutions to your problems and your need. And so we battle with each other. We battle with the environment. We battle with everything. Because now I have to find it in myself to be loving. Now I have to find it in myself to produce food. Now I have to find it in myself to do everything. But the Bible says to us, fix your eyes on Jesus in Hebrews 12 verse 2, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, in the curse that God gives to the serpent, He says, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put war between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So, the way we solve this problem, because what fruit did they eat? It was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Which is basically the ability to judge, isn't it? It's basically allowing me to judge between what's right and what's wrong. And the problem that I have when I start knowing what's right and what's wrong is I know what's right, what I need to do, but I quite like the idea of what I shouldn't be doing. And so before, you can see Adam and Eve, they're in relationship with God, they're holding hands with God, and then they eat this fruit, and they let go of their hand because they're eating the fruit. And now they start seeing what's right and what's wrong. And that's what makes us cruel and nasty and unkind, is because you're not holding on here, your eyes are not fixed on Jesus, but your eyes are fixed on your weakness and all the things that's wrong with you. And it says that the solution is provided here, is that one day, out of the man, out of the woman, will come a child who will crush the head of the snake or the serpent. He will bring an end to all of this poison and nastiness and unkindness. And that's Jesus on the cross. And so the way that we fix our eyes on Jesus, or the way that we fix the problem, is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's taking his hand again and just saying, you know what? I'm tired of being the guy who decides what's right and wrong. I want to be the guy who just holds God's hand and walks with him. I want to be the guy who just goes, you know what? I'm not going to sit in judgment. I'm just going to let you lead me. I'm not going to be the guy who tells God what should happen or anyone else. I'm going to be the one who listens to what God wants me to do. So I asked earlier some of these questions. Do you feel powerless? Are you ashamed? Can you get somewhere? The Trinity restores our identity, because there's three losses. The Trinity is the three natures of God. The Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power of God for your life. So where you're feeling powerless, it's because you don't have that relationship with the Spirit of God. And where you feel shameful, Jesus comes alongside and says, you know what? I'm going to stand next to you in your shame. The Son of God stands next to you and says, you're okay. And where you feel that you have nowhere to go, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare you one. The place that Jesus is going to, you can go as well. He's got a place for you. So those three things, your powerlessness, the Spirit of God deals with that. Your shame, Jesus comes and stands alongside you. And your lack of future goal, God has got you a place prepared. Where are you going? So I just thought we could look at this. Curse, being cursed is a choice. It's not something which I can't pronounce you're cursed, but it's something that I choose. I choose to reject God. That's a curse. To reject God is the curse. To receive God is a blessing. To be in church today on a Sunday, you guys are lucky. You're blessed. You're blessed because you read Genesis 3 this morning. You're blessed because you can be a part of this room. So let's look at this. And try and say it a bit symbolic if you can. Cursed is a choice. It is to listen to the lies and reject the truth. You're blessed merely by hearing this word today. I will let go of judging and walk with my Father. You're a descendant of one who had it all and lost it, but also one who is promised will get it back again. I will let go of judging and walk with my Father. The environment that you are in is difficult and messed up as a result of rejecting God's authority. It can be restored. I will let go of judging and walk with my Father. I am guaranteed through Jesus eternal life. We need to think that stuff. It needs to become part of us. Because that's holding on to the hand of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, without your word, we wouldn't know where we are. We wouldn't know where we're going. We wouldn't know how to get there. Lord, we pray for the people outside right now who don't even hear your word. We pray that your word would go out to them, that they may see the deception that's in their lives. They may respond to you and turn and be healed. Lord, we pray also that you would work in us this week to reject the lie and hold on to your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks, Wilson. We've got a couple of minutes if anyone has any